I'm on the line with Joyce Harris. Good evening, Joyce, and thanks for joining me tonight.
Hi there, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Joyce, tell me a little bit about where you grew up.
I grew up two different places. I grew up in the mountains of Kentucky, and then I moved from the mountains of Kentucky to New Orleans, where I really grew up. And I grew up loving rhythm and blues and rock and roll, that kind of music more than any other kind.
Who were some of the artists that you were listening to, say, at an earlier age?
People like Eddie Bowe, Fats Domino, Dr. John, Little Richard, Freddie Fender. The list goes on and on, you know.
What was it that got you interested in music in the first place?
Well, you know, I just grew up singing, and I was born with it. And I've always sung, you know. Everybody in my family sang. So when I was growing up and doing my chores around the house, while we were singing all over the house, from one room to the other, whatever we were doing.
So how did the first recording come about with you and your sister listed as Judy and Joyce?
Judy and Joyce. They had a tryout session down at Cosmos on Governor Nichols Street in New Orleans. There were a number of people. I mean, they just, you know, they put the word out and all kinds of people showed up. They were going to choose one group, you know, to sign up and take back to New York and record and that kind of thing. And it just so happened that after that full day of all the tryouts, my sister and I were the ones they chose. And Danny Kessler, he was the representative from New York, in the long run became our manager. And we ended up signing a contract with him for 7 years with 7 years option, which I didn't know any better, and I probably shouldn't have done that. But Danny Kessler, and I forgot who his Morty Craft was another one that was involved in our first recording. And we recorded in Nashville for the Decca Company.
So the Decca label one came before the one on the Dot label?
The Dot label was done there at Governor Nichols at Cosmos.
Oh, okay, I see. So that one it was titled He's the One and Hey Pretty Baby.
That's it.
And He's the One was the plug site on that.
Right.
So that was done for Cosmos, and then once that was done, and then you were back in Nashville recording.
That's right, and we went to Nashville to record for Decca.
Now, the Decca release was Washboard Sam and Nursery Rock.
That's right.
What was the plug site on that one?
Nursery Rock, but Washboard Sam got a lot of play, too. They liked that one.
In Nashville, you probably had a pretty nice studio, just like you did with Cosmos.
Oh, yeah, we recorded there at, I can't think of his name. But he recorded everybody. The Anita Kerr singers and Owen Bradley.
Owen Bradley, okay.
Owen Bradley. It was his studio, and all of the Nashville people recorded there. Chet Atkins was one of his producers, and Buddy Harmon was the drummer there. And, oh, they just had all kinds of good musicians. It was just a great experience for us because we were like right out of the woods, you know, and going into the studio and seeing all the wonderful musicians. And the Anita Kerr singers were absolutely incredible.
And they were backing you up,
were they? They were backing us up on the Nursery Rock and Washboard Sam.
I also noticed, kind of going backwards just slightly, that Hey Pretty Baby, backed with Rock and Roll Kittens, was done on a label called Seville in 1959. Your other two were both in 1958. Do you recall anything about that?
The Rock and Roll Kittens, I still have a copy of that, and it was a good little song. It was just, they never did really do anything with it, but it was good. It was a good song. It was put out there in New Orleans. I don't know really what happened to that song.
Hmm.
It really wasn't pushed. It wasn't distributed. It was just like, I don't know what happened to that song.
It looks like they took the flip side of He's the One and then just paired it with Rock and Roll Kittens.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if they took the master from Dot, or did you guys actually re-record Hey Pretty Baby?
I don't know how they did that. But Hey Pretty Baby, my other sister Jody sang with us on that one. She was younger than us, and all she did was sing on the chorus with us. But she was in the studio at the time.
So there was three of you then?
Yeah. Judy, Jody, and Joyce. Joyce, Judy, and Jody.
So from there, from that Seville label release, the next one that I show for you ended up on United Telefilm.
Yep.
Where were you at when you recorded that one?
I was in New York with Morty Craft. And the Thousand Strings, you know, he was the one that was involved with that. Morty Craft and Danny Kessler And I recorded that there.
The titles on that one were It's You and the Boy in School.
Right.
It's
Which
You.
I wrote those two, and I wrote most of the songs that I recorded.
From there, was there a lull in your recording after you did the United Telefilm release?
I ended up coming back to New Orleans, and, you know, I worked around, did all kinds of stuff there, worked in some of the clubs, and any kind of talk ops or anything that was going on with any of the radio stations. And then, after that, I ended up going to Texas, at least headed toward Texas, where I was signed up with Laura Jane Richardson.
And that would be Domino Records.
Right.
How was the experience with Domino?
Oh, that was a wonderful experience. I was out there for at least a couple of years, and they treated me just like family, you know. I was always in the studio there and working with the musicians, and I've forgotten what the name of the studio was that I recorded in there in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
But they finally said, just do it the way you want to do it.
So
I took a band. I told them, I said, I'm going to need a black band. You know, that's what I'm going to need. So we rounded up a black band, some black musicians, which were fantastic, and went in the studio there, and it was a very odd name. I don't remember. But we went in there, and I did the song the way I wanted to, and I ended up doing American Bandstand with it. It was the number one to hit all several different big towns, you know.
Well, you had a couple of releases, actually, on Domino. You had done one called Do You Know What It's Like to Be Lonesome, which was a flip side of something by the Slades there, an answer record, actually, called I Cheated.
That's right. And I wrote both of those. In fact, that was one of my first things with Domino. You know, they were interviewing me and was thinking about signing me up and all, and they said, well, do you write? And I said, well, yeah. And they said, well, what kind of stuff you write? And I said, well, I thought I can write just about anything. I said, for instance, like, in fact, they had that song You Cheated Out at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how about me writing you an answer to that and I'll bring it to you tomorrow morning? And they said, well, okay. So I went home and I wrote that and I brought it back the next morning and they signed me.
Wow.
Because I just wrote it overnight and that's usually the way I do. You know, I have an idea and I just go with it.
I Cheated was a fine song, and even the flip, I actually kind of like Do You Know What It's Like to Be Lonesome, kind of a soft, sultry type of a song.
Yeah.
Really, really nice. There was also a really good picture sleeve that came out with that one. It was kind of a fold-out picture sleeve. Domino was real famous for doing that with a lot of their releases.
Yes, they did. They had a lot of pictures made of me, and I just, you know, gave out autographed pictures at all the different places that where I did record promotions. I used to be on their a TV show there called Cactus Priors in Austin. It was Lyndon Johnson station.
Mm-hmm.
And I was used there as a promotion, you know, for the records and stuff.
Well, let me visit that for just a second in a roundabout way. The Domino label had a lot of great artists besides the Slades, and I know that Bobby Doyle did some work certainly for Domino, and there was a kind of a quasi-country guy by the name of Barney Tall. Ray Campy was out there with a release. Did you ever get a chance to work with any of those people or even possibly Joyce Webb?
No, I didn't work with any of them. You know, everybody was an individual artist. It would have been great to have a jam session where all of the artists from Domino would have been on stage together, which I think would have been a great idea. But it never did happen. It seemed like everybody else was always someplace else. And we all had our individual things that we were doing.
Well, getting back to your big hit that you were talking about, No Way Out, backed with Dreamer, came out in 1961. That was started on Domino, and once it got to the point where they probably couldn't handle it anymore, it was apparently leased to Infinity then, is that correct?
Right.
And that was not only a big hit, but you were mentioning you got a chance to go on Bandstand just because of that.
Yes, American Bandstand, and I remember it was just wonderful. Dick Clark was a great guy. I just loved him. But when I look back at that now and I think, you know, I had on just a sweater and skirt for the Bandstand, but they censored me from the waist down. you know. And
Oh.
it was so, and it right now it sounds so silly for them to do that, but compared to what they have on television today. But I was one of the first, you know, and so things were quite different back then.
You also made a recording, but not a record, of a song called I Got My Mojo Working that was with the Daylighters.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that one.
Well, if I had a nickel for every time I sang that song, I'd be rich. But everybody liked that song, and it was just a great song. And here in New Orleans, that song is probably heard quite a lot, that one, and Sexy Ways, and I don't know, there were several of them that all went together, but I Got My Mojo Working was one of the best.
Yeah, that was just amazing, and that actually came out on a CD that Ace Records out of the UK put together, and I'm really glad they included that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. And the thing of it is, if I had a chance to get together with them, with some of these other songs that I have, they could have probably had 20 more, you know, because I have a lot of songs that have sort of a real gut bucket feel to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Blues type stuff, but I sing all kinds of music.
Do you remember who else was on the show?
I don't know who the other artists were at the time. I was so excited and so nervous and so everything. To be on Bandstand was one of the greatest things in my lifetime. It was a privilege, and at that time, for any musician that could get to Bandstand was just incredible, you know? And then I wanted to be on the Ed Sullivan Show, but it just didn't work out. But it was great. And Dick Clark, he was the same then as you see him now. Just the same nicest guy in the world.
So let's go forward just slightly then. And I believe you were out in Hollywood recording as Sinner Strong. Tell me about that.
Well, I was out there with, let's see, Ed Townsend. And I don't remember who was in the studio doing all the producing and all that type of thing. But this song, Nobody But Me. And the other side is Don't Knock It Till You Try It. Both of those songs were excellent. I had about a 25-piece choir singing with me, and it's strictly spiritual. You know, I mean, it was moving, rocking, moving, way out there. And I was, like, way ahead of my time. And I was actually interviewed over the phone. I think her name was Florence Greenberg. Or, I don't know, somebody with Motown Records. And they were totally interested, and they used to call me like a female Jackie Wilson. That's the kind of music I used to do. So I was supposed to go from Hollywood to New York to talk with her and Motown Records, but instead I came to New Orleans because I hadn't been home in a long time.
What might have happened, right?
Yeah, what might have happened, but you never know. Maybe it was just meant to be.
Yeah. An interesting record came up a couple years after that one on the New Orleans-based Fun label.
Yeah.
It's called Baby, 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 backed with How Long Can I Hold Back My Tears. Tell me about that.
Well, I think that was one of the last recordings I made, and it was right there in Cosmos and with Eddie Bow, and he's been a friend of mine for I can't tell you how many years. And we recorded that, and he wrote those songs. And, you know, that was the last one. And it's a good record. It's rare, though.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it's rare. They used to have Ace Records here in New Orleans. That was a good label. And some of the old labels are, well, there's nothing. There's hardly anything left of New Orleans. You know, since Katrina, there's just, you know, all of the businesses in the quarter, a lot of the... recording people there. They're just not there anymore.
There's another recording out there by a group called the Chevelles that says Joyce Harris and the Chevelles, Hey Sweet Daddy, and backed with In Love Always on the Stewart label. I listened to that and didn't think that was you. Would that be correct?
Correct.
I wanted to set the record straight because I've seen a lot of places that say that that was you, and I couldn't hear it, so I just thought I'd clarify that one.
No, that's not me. I had a show group at one time that we were called the Twisters, and we played Vegas, we played the Golden Nugget, and toured, did a lot of road work and stuff, and we were really good, you know. But then the Army got two of my boys at the same time, and we were unable to replace them, and with all the memory work that we had, you know, because we had everything memorized for a show group. But they were great.
So that was the end of the recordings, and the one on Fun was it. And then, like you were saying, you did some road work. What happened after that?
I got married. I actually decided to quit music. I was unhappy with, you know, traveling all the time, and it was just so hard. And to get anything done, it was almost like impossible. So I just got to the point that I was just working in New Orleans and working at some of the clubs and stuff around New Orleans, and I just decided not to go back on the road. And I ended up not going back on the road. And over a period of years, I met my husband, and I have a son now who is 29 years old and who is a DJ. He has a wonderful business. He does his work all the way from Mississippi to New Orleans and other places, you know. But I'm also a music director for Sun Methodist Church, and I sing gospel music. I sing bluegrass gospel. I have a bluegrass gospel group.
Bluegrass, that's a long ways from the R&B.
I mean, a complete turnaround. We took some of the old songs from the Grand Ole Opry and have a little three-part trio, and we do, you know, stuff that's old as the hills, but it still sounds good.
Well, that's the important thing. So do you do any singing of the type of material that you used to do, or have you just kind of shifted over to the other things, and that's kind of where you're at right now?
Well, that's kind of where I'm at right now because, like I said, I am a music director for the church, and it's strictly gospel.
Right.
Gospel music, and of course, I do everything from wedding music to country music to bluegrass music, rhythm and blues, just about any kind that, you know, you can come up with.
Well, Joyce, is there anything that I may have missed in our interview that you'd like to tell everybody?
There's one friend of mine that we used to have a lot of fun together, and that was Mac Rabinac. He's now known as Dr. John, and we used to run around together, and his group was called the Night Trippers. He had a band called the Night Trippers, and he used to play around New Orleans the same time I was. And we were great friends. All the guys in his band, I used to sing with them, and, you know, we just were great friends.
Have you lost contact, or do you still talk
with
him?
Well, I know Mac married someone who lived in New York. I think he lives out in New York now. So I don't see him. He comes in for the Jazz Fest and for some of the different things in New Orleans, but I haven't seen him in a long time, in years. Because I live about 60 miles from New Orleans. I live across on the north side of the lake, which is a long ways from New Orleans. Good thing. I might not be here now.
Joyce, thanks so much for taking time out to do the interview with me and to have everybody get caught up on where you're at.
Okay. It's been fun.